preparing talks is for the ego. Basically to calm the ego down so that you won't just feel terrified that you have nothing to say when you get up in front of the room. I also learned that much of the time I never even looked at those notes, because what is called forth from the group is totally different. I had no idea how Jadwiga was going to introduce me. But before I talk about that, I have to talk about that song, Kay. You might have noticed that I was in tears. At the Center for Transformation in Florida that my first wife and I had for many years, we would sing that song at every seminar that we did. And I'm sure she's here. This was our wedding anniversary, April 3rd. So I had no intention of talking about that, nor some of the things that Jadwiga mentioned. But I'll go back to one of the things that Jadwiga talked about, because although I didn't have it in my notes, it was a very important lesson for me. I learned to balance chakras with crystals. This is really jumping ahead in the story, because I was going to talk about how I got there. And for about a year, I would use this beautiful amethyst and fluorite to on either side of the chakras to balance them. And what I saw happening as I was doing that was light coming out of the amethyst in different colors for the different chakras and for different people. And I would teach other people how to balance chakras in the same way as I had been taught. And at one of the seminars on Sanibel, I was teaching people how to use the chakras, and I heard the voice inside my head say, "You don't need to use a crystal anymore." So I held out my hand, and I saw that same rainbow of colors coming out of the palm of my hand. And I realized that the crystals were just training wheels. And my personal belief is, which I learned in that moment, that all technology is training wheels. Like my, yes? Yes! I looked at that, Bill. I said, what a picture.
You just said that just now.
Yes. And I wasn't planning to say it. There are no accidents. That's another thing I've learned. Life is just one synchronicity after another. My feeling about computers, for example, and computer games especially. I'm not a player of computer games. But when I do play them, I realized that you can't play them with a conscious mind. You have to let go and work intuitively. And I really think computer games are to train the next generation or generations to think intuitively. The technology that I work with now, oh, where is it? Oh, I don't have it. Okay. It's based on two different frequencies, one for conditions and one for tissue. So you might put inflammation on a tendon, for example. So you would have one frequency for inflammation and one frequency for tendon. I had a dream one night that I was holding up my hands and allowing those two frequencies to come out of my hands. And I knew again that those devices are just training wheels. And not just for me, but for everybody. We all have amazing abilities. We only use a fraction of our brain. When I was in graduate school, I took neuroanatomy up the wazoo. It was the only kind of anatomy courses I ever had until I went to massage school, then I had gross anatomy. But we were taught the glial cells were just junk. Nobody knew what they were for. Now we're thinking they're actually more important than neurons. The more I study the human body, the more amazed I am at its engineering. We haven't begun to understand how we are put together, how we function, and how we can function optimally. But that's our purpose, that's our goal. So, back to the script. What I wanted to talk about, the lessons that I've learned. I thought about how to structure this talk, and I thought that the best way would be chronologically. I've had three or four near-death experiences in this life, and the first one was at birth. So although I don't consciously remember that, my mother told me about it, I figured that I have to be carrying with me the idea that life is ephemeral, life, and maybe even unpredictable. I didn't really get that until my first wife died at the age of 55. Then I definitely realized that life can be very fleeting. And I made a decision at that time that I wasn't going to do anything for the rest of my life that I didn't enjoy doing. It also made me hasten to marry Jadwiga. That and the invasion of Iraq. No, Afghanistan. It was the year before. My second near-death experience was shortly after that. I was at the age of two. I had pneumonia. And as a result of that, I survived it, of course. But I had bronchitis for the next 15 or so years through my adolescence. And because of the bronchitis, when I started school, I would go for the first few months. And in New England, it gets pretty cold, come October, November. And when it got cold, I would get bronchitis and I would stay home. And I basically stayed home for the next 3 years. So that was my isolation that Jadwiga talked about that formed my being a five. I got to tell you something else about a five. Five is also, the points on the Enneagram also correlate with the seven deadly sins. And the sin associated with five is avarice. But it's not avarice for money, it's avarice for knowledge. Fives want to know everything. And that certainly is me. My favorite things to read in childhood was the Encyclopedia Britannica and a book on astronomy. And the third thing was... Well, not at that time. That came later. Mythology. Early religion. So yes, you're right. My first religious training was in mythology. But as a result, my grandfather went to Mass every Sunday. I grew up as a Roman Catholic. And I loved to go with him. But what I loved about going to Mass was the music. That's what was uplifting. The message from the pulpit was not uplifting. It was actually downputting, but the music was uplifting, and that's what I went to Mass for every Sunday with him. But when the weather got cold, of course, or if it was raining, I couldn't go. So I never went to Sunday school. And I never thought anything of it. But when I was in junior high and all my friends were going to receive confirmation, because I grew up in a very Italian Catholic neighborhood, I felt left out. I wanted to receive confirmation. After all, I was baptized as a Catholic. So we went to talk to the Monsignor, and he gave me lessons so I could receive First Holy Communion. If any of you are not Catholic, that's the step between baptism and confirmation. So I did that, and I had some wonderful discussions with him. He was a Jesuit, and he was a five. He was, Jesuits like knowledge also. So we had wonderful discussions. I can't tell you what we discussed at this point in time, but I just remembered really enjoying talking with him. And then I joined the class for confirmation with the nuns, and that was a totally different experience. They didn't want me to ask questions. And they finally went to the Monsignor and said, "You've got to take him back. We can't handle him." So I went back to finish my studies with him, and I did receive confirmation with my classmates. But what I got from that experience was a thirst for knowledge about spirituality. And I read the Old Testament, I read the New Testament, I read the Bhagavad Gita, I read the Tao Te Ching, and I read the Analects of Confucius in the next few months. And what I came away with was the idea that those Easterners say it better than traditional Christianity. For example, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as it's usually translated from the New Testament. Confucius said, don't do to another that which you would not want them to do to you. And I thought that made a whole lot more sense. It's much broader in scope. So I left the church and actually became an atheist for the next 20 years. But what I learned from those experiences was that things aren't always what they seem. You know, what might have looked like a disability of having bronchitis for all those years actually kept me home from going to regular school for those 3 years so I could read whatever I wanted to. And it kept me out of Sunday school. So I only had those few weeks with the nuns. I didn't have that experience that most of my friends had, which I learned about in high school. We talked about our religious experiences growing up. And what I learned was that what my friends got from their religious training primarily was a sense of guilt. And I had no sense of guilt. I remember going to confession and you ask, what do you feel guilty for? I said, nothing. If I felt guilty about it, I wouldn't do it. I don't think the priest wanted to hear that. So, going along chronologically, in high school, I was swimming in a lake with a couple of friends, and I almost drowned. And that was my next near-death experience in my next life and my next lesson. We had been reading in school Lord Jim, and there was one line in that book that just burned itself into my memory. When Jim is struggling to survive in the ocean, the thought comes to him, to the elements, submit yourself. And I realized that's what I had to do. And I relaxed and stopped struggling and floated back to the surface so that my friend could help me to the shore. And that's been one of the most important lessons in my entire life, the importance of surrender. Surrender to a higher power. Surrender to your higher self. Surrender to allow the information that is all around us to come into you. That might be the only thing we have to learn on earth, is how to let go of the ego and surrender to our full self. Like what I learned from the crystals. So on to the fourth, not really a near-death experience, just coming close to possibly dying. I was driving my car home on a winter night in St. Louis, and when I got to the intersection at the light, the car coming from the left hit a patch of ice and came careening through the intersection, hit my car just behind the driver's door. Every window in the car shattered, but I opened the door, walked out, took off my clothes, shook out all the glass. It wasn't a scratch on me. And I realized in that moment that we are so guided. We are not alone. We are protected. Had I got to that intersection seconds earlier, that car would have come into the driver's door and I would have been either severely injured or killed. So I feel really blessed knowing that we're not alone. I'm going to take a moment now to look at my notes and see if there's anything that I've left out so far. I don't think so. If you have any questions, please ask. Oh, yeah. Okay. My first job after graduate school was as director of crisis intervention services at a public hospital. It was a very stressful job. So a friend suggested that I learn meditation. And that was wonderful because I really learned how to relax. And when I meditated for the first time alone, I saw Jesus. And Jesus said, "Remember me. Remember when you knew me." I didn't understand what that meant until years later when I was introduced to past life regression. And indeed, I learned that I had lived a previous lifetime with Jesus. And past life regression has been another great teacher for me. I've learned not to fear death. Death is a doorway. We just go from one life to another to learn another lesson. Often we even bring with us the same cast of characters. It's like each life is like an act in a play. What I also learned from past life regression was the way to change things is through forgiveness. That came from A Course in Miracles. And that was really the key for me in allowing people to change through the regression. Because just regressing gives you information. But when you couple that with forgiveness, forgiving yourself for what you did in the past, or forgiving the other person for what they did to you that you're holding on to anger and resentment for, the forgiveness wipes it away. I also learned that if you can't forgive yourself, if you're still too angry, ask Jesus or your higher self to forgive for you. That works just as well. Or you can substitute any other ascended master that you want to put in that place. Past life regression has also taught me a lot of other things. I mean, it's taught me about the past in terms of, you know, the history of Lemuria and in Atlantis, for example. It's also taught me that there is life on other planets because we live there. I've regressed people to other worlds. I've regressed myself to other worlds, for that matter. So what that's given me is a sense of how vast the universe is and how minuscule, really, our knowledge is of what is. There's so much out there. And I want to know it all. Let's see if there's anything else here that I'm forgetting. I talked about surrender. I think another word for surrender is trust. And I've always said that our most important lesson in living on Earth is learning to trust. I know, that's your turn next. So to summarize, the lessons I've learned in this life are life is ephemeral and unpredictable. Events aren't always what they appear to be. Clouds can have silver linings, and often do. There are forces beyond our five senses that are operating all the time. Death is merely a doorway. The importance of forgiveness. Oh, I left one out. Okay. From A Course in Miracles, I learned something else. My favorite affirmation in the Course in Miracles is, I can choose peace instead of this. When I learned that, my colleagues at the hospital where I worked wanted to know what drug I discovered because I become so peaceful. I learned that peace is like a mantra in a meditation. When you realize that you're not feeling peaceful, you just choose to feel peaceful instead. It's just like when you realize that you're not saying or thinking the mantra, you gently go back to the mantra. So you gently go back to peace. And you make that choice moment by moment, just like you do in meditation. So basically, life is a constant meditation, or a constant state of meditation. So the next thing I learned is what I feel is in my control, and I can choose peace. I also obviously learned that we're much more than our physical bodies. We are a field of infinite possibilities. And it's that field that generates the colors and the things that we see. I learned about surrender and trust. And I learned that we're never alone. So I hope this has been of interest to you, because I want to hear from you. We have 2 weeks set aside in the next month for people to share their thoughts of what they've learned. We can do it as an open forum, so if you're reluctant to come up in front of the room and talk, we can do it that way. So I look forward to hearing from you. And now I will turn the podium over to my beloved wife.
Thank you.